Got Your Back Podstream is brought to you by JL Financial Solutions. If you're an Albertan looking to plan your financial future, you want someone you can trust. Together with Sun Life's estate and financial planning services, JL Financial Solutions will develop a plan you can be confident in to grow and protect your wealth. Give Jonathan Lambert and his team a call at 780-733-0910.
Coming back. The Oilers are coming back from Florida, and they're not coming alone. Oilers win 5-3 in an unbelievably fun game to watch and stress over if you're an Oilers fan. Down in FLA, so they're bringing their buddies back, the Florida Panthers, to play Friday night at Rogers Place, when I'm guessing it'll be quite a rambunctious group of fans. Let's talk about this game, and we're doing it from my office. Long Shot Studio. We're on all Oilers game nights during the playoffs. Our all-you-can-eat wings, $25 a person. Some conditions apply. Visit Long Shots, Sherwood Park. 5-3, the Oilers get her done. Now, I don't want to take all the credit, but guys, since introducing this bad boy, the rally scarf, the Oilers are 2-1. Is it all on me? No. Other people have had pretty good nights, including Connor McDavid, who got 4 points tonight. We'll get into that. Obviously, but I want to tell you about our title sponsor, which is Assured Buick GMC. They love the rally scarf. They've ordered many. Can't keep up with the demand. The Oilers are still in it. To keep the celebrations going, Assured Buick GMC are offering an incredible deal on their Sierra 1500s. Get ready to drive away with the best deal in town when you lose or lease a new 2024 Sierra 1500 for just $450 per month for 24 months at 4.9%. Visit the crew at 10 Automall Road or online at www.gmcpod.com. It'll be myself tonight, Rob Brown and Joyce Zubies at the control, and then live from Florida, our main man in the sexy pose, Ryan Rashog. Shogger, my voice is hoarse. My family, we watched this tonight. The kids were going crazy. Everyone's cheering like on the edge of your seat, thriller. I wondered what it was like for the fans in Florida as you watch them watch this. Well, it was a very entertaining game, whether you're a fan of either team.
Yeah, buddy. I would say that this fan base is still learning how to will its team back into games. Like, the Oilers scored first, and the wind came out of the building big time. And then the Oilers kept scoring. And at a certain point, the fans tried to get a Let's Go Panthers chant going. And it was like, let's go. Like, it was really kind of lame. And then it just sort of died before it got started. And then the Panthers scored. And that brought the building back to life. So it took the Panthers kind of doing it themselves. And then after that, the fans were into it big time. So it got better after that. But I would say, and I said this before, man, like, and I'm not trying to be a homer here at all. Like, it just is what it is. It's night and day. The environment is ridiculous in Edmonton. It's whatever here. And the fact that the Oilers have earned the right to play one more time in front of their fans, Shreddy, when the Oilers hit the ice for game six, It's going to be mayhem. It's the fans' opportunity to thank them for what they accomplished here tonight. It's going to be mayhem. And I'm here to tell you, and fans, if you're listening, the players are talking about it. The players... It's a topic of conversation. Management is talking about it. Everybody's talking about the mayhem that it is playing games back in Edmonton and what a huge difference it makes. So, bravo, Oilers fan. You're getting noticed in the Stanley Cup final in a big way.
It's incredible. It is so much fun. And, it's just so much fun to see it. And they get one more game at home. Now, do they get a game seven? We'll figure that out later. But right now, they get one more game at home, which is what the Oilers fans want, and the Oilers want it as well. So let's get to our breakdown brought to you by Mr. Dirk, the iconic men's clothing store in Edmonton, founded in 1939. Just off White Avenue and 102 Street, Mr. Dirk, formerly Dirk's, has everything you need for every aspect of your wardrobe, casual clothes like jeans, pants, shirts, sweaters, shoes, and on all the formal side, an amazing selection of brand name suits, sports coats, and ties. They can do customs and they have in-house tailoring. Visit MrDirk.com. So like I said, tonight, just to kind of lay it out, it's myself, Shogger, Brownie will join us a little bit later, and Zuby's here. But the guy that was been here the last two games, and I think we talked about him quite a bit after last game, but Connor McDavid, 4 points, 2 goals, 2 assists. He was everywhere on the ice. And when I say that, he was literally everywhere, played almost 25 minutes. I believe he was, if not the highest player, he was second highest, I believe, for both teams after his friend Evan Bouchard, who only got 3 assists tonight. So Shogger, 97, he was everywhere out there doing everything for everyone. That was one of the greatest performances I've seen in a playoff game, especially elimination game, buddy.
Yeah. Well, and fans aren't going to care about this, and neither is Connor McDavid, but he just won himself the Conn Smythe Trophy. Like, it doesn't matter what happens in game six. Connor McDavid's winning the Conn Smythe Trophy now. 8 points in a couple of games, approaching all-time status in terms of overall points. So I know other fans don't care about that and don't want to talk about that now, but I'm here to tell you, I mean, unless Bob pitches a 75-save shutout in game six, I think that's what we've just witnessed here with Connor McDavid. But Strudge, where I want to start with him in his performance tonight is in the second period. That second period, man, when the Florida Panthers started pushing, every time the Panthers pushed, McDavid found a way to counterpunch. McDavid found a way to get something done. So he sets up Evan Bouchard for the big clapper there. We saw that. Ends up scoring the 3-0 goal, getting it to go through Bobrovsky. And again, when the Panthers are counterpunching, it ends up setting Corey Perry up on a shift. Like, that rush up ice, he was exhausted coming up the ice on that rush and still makes an all-world play to beat players and set up Corey Perry, Strudge. So, I mean, and then when Florida came back again, he was the one that ended up getting more momentum back by drawing the penalty. And at both ends of the ice, defensive plays, but that second period in particular, buddy, was an all-timer from Connor McDavid. I think he had his goal and 2 assists in that period. It was phenomenal.
So there's so much to talk about with Connor. And that play where he skated through navigated, I think the word he used, through the Florida Panthers, and then passed over to Perry. It was such a smart play by Perry, and that's why he's in there. You know, at times we're on the stream, why is Perry playing, whatever. He comes on the ice. He skates as fast as his older legs will take him right to the blue paint, knowing that Connor would see him, and he just tapped that thing in. Like, that is veteran hockey. You go to the blue paint when your buddy's going to the blue paint with the puck, and you can see it. He's literally on the board, steps off as fast as he can. Right there, boom, taps it in. That's why Corey Perry's in the lineup.
Strugs, I got something interesting to tell you about that goal. And this is courtesy of Chris Johnson, who I just finished doing a hit on SportsCenter with.
Okay.
So Corey Perry was not supposed to step on the ice in that moment. Darnell Nurse, because the second power play unit has two defensemen, right?
Okay.
So the first change up front to the extra forward is the defenseman who's supposed to hop over. Darnell Nurse recognized on the bench that McDavid was rushing the puck up ice. He yelled down the bench for a forward to go instead, so Perry hopped over and was able to join that rush. That was Darnell Nurse recognizing what was happening and hollering down the bench at Perry to go. That was a cerebral, brilliant call by Darnell Nurse in the moment.
Yeah, he doesn't get a point on it, but he definitely will get a high five from his teammates. And I recognize that Connor was a big part of this win, where, you know, but that there are other people that understand the moment, right, that are around him and to make it, even the Bouchard goal. You think about that play, you know, he finds a way to find a hole through, right? Now, well, I guess it wasn't his goal, but it all, you know, went off
Hyman.
But it's the idea of he's had quite a few shots blocks. He's had some change, and I'm not criticizing him. That's just a team doing a good job on the other side. But he keeps shooting, keeps firing the puck at the net. And, you know, actually tonight he even have a shot on goal. But he creates a goal because of his continuous belief in himself to get those pucks to the net, and obviously with his teammates trying to find him on that power play.
Yeah, and the power play waking up here, buddy, is a huge story for this series moving forward. Because so the Oilers managed to stay alive last game, but there were still significant elements of their game that had yet to come to life. And the power play was chief among those topics, right, to get the power play going, which, you know, for it to get going the way it did tonight is massive. It's a big swing. But to your point, Evan Bouchard, you know, just checks in offensively here in a big way, making a great skilled play. You know, there was some talk about him maybe getting a little bit tired and starting to look a little bit tired. You know, like 26-14, he ends up playing tonight. And I thought he had a really, really strong game. Now, there were some giveaways and stuff, but you know what? There was throughout the decor. Like, the Oilers bent tonight. They definitely bent. But the fact that the special teams swing was as significant as it was tonight, Struds, and we'll talk about the goaltending after, but the special team swing in this series for it to have swung as hard Edmonton's way as it has on both fronts is really something moving forward here.
Well, to start the game, you need to talk about the penalty kill and then the goal by Connor Brown. And let's just set up, for those that aren't familiar with Connor Brown, he signed here on a contract. It's bonus laden for next year. And he could not find his legs. It took him, you know, I remember Connor Leon said, you got to be patient with this guy. Well, Oilers fans, okay, a month, 2 months, Christmas, the new year, going on and on. He kind of, you could see it maybe towards the end of the year. But he is not even close to the player tonight that he was in game 82. He is at another level. He is arguably one of the Oilers' best players the last two games. That includes some pretty high-level elite players. And for him to score that shorty, like early in the year, he would have had that and might have, you know, just carried it into the corner. But fakes Bobrovsky, takes it to his backhand, waits, tucks it in. Like, that is a massive goal. Massive goal by Connor Brown on the shorthanded. And it probably took a little bit of juice out of Florida, who's like, hey, we're going to come out and win this game tonight. It was humongous goal. Yeah. And Connor Brown, who was criticized by everybody, had another huge night tonight. Huge night for Connor Brown.
Yeah. And Connor Brown, you know, he deserved a lot of the criticism that came his way this year, right? He didn't produce.
Fair point.
And he struggled. And I don't think that the narrative was unfair at all for Connor Brown. But I think in the big picture, when you listen to him talk about it now, he missed an entire season. And we can all assume that, okay, you'll bounce back, have a good summer, and it's just like any other year. Now you're going to pick up where everyone else left off to, and you're good to go. Well, that's just not the way it went for Connor Brown. It's just not. And he's talked about how it's taken him until now to really find his legs. And Struds, it's all in his legs. Like, the motor has always been there. The work ethic and the willingness has always been there. But his legs have more in them now than they have all year long. And it's crazy to think that he was healthy scratched in these playoffs. When you look at the way he's playing and what he's contributing, the idea that this guy would have ever been in and out of the lineup, but that's just how much his game has come around. So, to your point, so Chris Knobloch puts a line together featuring Connor Brown, your boy, Adam Henrique, and Matias Janmark, right? Puts that line together. They're now starting every game. They start the game tonight. They have a scoring chance, 10 seconds in. How much do you think that makes the bench kind of take a breath and go, whoa, we're playing at the right end of the ice? And then Connor Brown with a brilliant penalty kill. The Oilers are doing such a good job of trying to funnel everything down and not allow the seam pass. Brown with a brilliant stick, and then those great feet got going that are so different now than they were before. And a fantastic finish. Like, I'll give David Staples credit. He's the one that tweeted, can we just all agree never to talk about Connor Brown's bonuses again? And I thought it was a great poignant tweet because he's earning every penny of them right now.
But you know, you look at it for Connor Brown, brought in to be a top six player. I couldn't imagine this team right now. That third line is so important to this group. And your point is well made about them starting the game. And I think they've started every period. And Brownie made a good point. When you start your third line, the opposing coach, in this case, Paul Maurice, has no idea who's coming out next. So you can surprise them, right? Sometimes Liam, sometimes Connor, you know, unlikely the fourth line, but it just makes sense. Brownie made that point last pod, and I thought that was really, really good insight, and I could see how you're saying it. Now, at home, it's maybe a little bit different as far as because you can get the matchups, but it's a way of maybe creating some doubt about who is going to play against who and just get a couple shifts maybe off of whatever matchup Florida's looking for. But that line was so, so important. Now, interesting thing, when you look at the D-man's ice time, Bouchard, 26 minutes, Ekholm, 20 minutes, and then basically everybody else was the same. You know, you've got Nurse at 17, Kulak at 15, you've got Broberg at 17 exactly, and then CeCe at 17. So, you know, it's those two big guys. Now, the power play inflates Bouchard's a little bit, but you saw Broberg out there in some pretty key moments defending, you know, towards the end of the game or on the penalty kill. Like, it seems to be it's a committee approach on their their usage of the back end. Obviously, I know with Bouchard, but also, do you notice they're not always putting Bouchard and Ekholm with Connor? They're kind of rotating it around, I think, spreading it out, which I think is it's a small change because it's always Connor with Bouchard. Now you're seeing, I think that maybe spreads it out a little bit more, makes it a little bit, everyone kind of gets a little bit of, you know, of a taste of it.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. I think what they've done is they've added more skill to Leon Draisaitl's line in the form of Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Dylan Holloway, although he was taken off that line tonight, he had some tough moments. This was a really intense, fast-paced game. Holloway was on the wrong side of a couple of plays. Still gave them what he had tonight. But they put more skill on that line, and then they're giving them more ice time with the most skilled D pairing as well. And it's kind of spread things around a little bit, Strud, and it's given everybody a little bit more of a look with that. What I'll say about Broberg, there were some tough moments early, right? Grabs a puck in the corner on his first shift, hard rims it around to a Florida Panther on the far side. couple of times, you know, just letting guys get body position on him. It wasn't all very, and quite frankly, I thought he and Darnell Nurse really struggled for like at least the first period of this game, if not a little bit more. I thought Nurse was making some top plays and throwing pucks away. I thought his night started really difficult. But I thought they settled in, and I thought they were more reliable a little bit later on in the game. But Philip Broberg is so fast. He's so mobile. He closes so quickly with that reach on people that even though he's having his tough moments, they have no choice but to keep playing him because he's so good in some ways, Strud. I would suggest to you, you can disagree with me if you want, that Philip Broberg has more confidence in him in this moment for ice time than even Dylan Holloway does. Philip Broberg has come miles and miles and is, you know, beating down the door of being the number 3/4 defenseman on this team.
Yeah, which is crazy. I cannot believe that's a conversation we're having. You know, like and you just look at the ice time. You can see it through the ice time. That's where he's at, and the usage, and he's doing it on his right, on his offside. It's just incredible. And you know, you look at the first goal against. The puck gets to Dylan Holloway, and everyone starts jumping up, anticipating him getting that puck out. And this isn't a, you know, unfortunately it's not fair, but that puck has to get out. It has to get out. But at the same time, the players, you know, Leon and the two D-men, they can't get so far above that they're not someone below Tkachuk, right? And those are those little details that, you know, I know they've got two more games, well, one more game for sure. Those things, they could be the difference in a deciding now you're pretty much down deciding games. Like, that can't happen. The awareness on the ice. And I don't like to be critical in this situation, but though that's the goal, that over the course it's pinched them. And there was two mistakes of Holloway not getting it out, and then everyone jumping up. Why jump up? At that point, I think it was 3-0. Right? You don't need to jump up. Ensure the puck leaves the zone, then you follow up. But Tkachuk gets it, and then, you know, it kind of gets changed the course of that game. And that's got to be a learning lesson. And I'm not sure it's a video one, but it's like, guys, we need to be sure in every situation on the ice.
So I'm going to completely agree with you on the players jumping up, Strud. So I will agree with you that, yes, they need to read the score and they need to make a more conservative play there, especially both defensemen hopping up, right? 100% agree with you that Dylan Holloway needs to make that play on the wall. No question, that's a mistake. But here's the point I'm going to make on the mistake that the rest of the team made jumping up. That mistake was made because the Oilers were not sitting back. The score was 3-0, and when the Oilers sit back, teams come back on them. When the Oilers sit back, they get it rammed down their throat. I kind of like the fact that the Oilers had it in their minds to keep pushing. Now, that was a brushback pitch, that 3-1 goal for sure, and they shouldn't have done it. But I like the fact that the plan wasn't to go into a defensive shell stretch, because I think there was too much time left in the game, and that would have been a mistake. And the Oilers kept pushing after that, and they had to keep pushing for the rest of the game. I don't mind the headspace they were in. I hate the play that they made. Does that make sense?
Sorry, that's the 1,000 live viewers sound.
Oh, nice. I love it. 1,000. I love it. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I thought
that's
you were
applauding
his
Zuby.
Point. Yeah, I thought you were applauding his point, Zuby, and I couldn't disagree more with our good friend, Ryan Rashog. So
seriously? All right, bring it.
There's five players on the ice. One of them can stay back. One. So you make sure there's no one between you. It's
no, we don't disagree on that.
I know, but you're saying it's you like the headspace. Four. If I look up and I see four guys in front of me, the fifth guy stays back. Even if it's Connor McDavid, you cannot get up where everyone's up there, trying to create. And I get what you're saying, but
I'm not saying it was okay the play they made. I'm not saying that the play they made was okay, Strutt. But do you think at 3-0, going into that defensive shell that we've seen the Oilers go into in the past with the lead was smart? And all I'm saying is they weren't doing that. That's part of the reason why that mistake happened. I think it was a bad mistake, but I didn't mind the headspace they were in.
But you can't have both
ways.
You can't have your eggs scrambled and boiled. Like it's one way or the other here, right? So either it's okay that they're aggressive, and or you say one person stays back. Like there has to be that discipline. And I get it. You want to have a jailbreak. I want to get up the ice. I get all that. But someone has to say, because that was an unnecessary goal against. That was completely unnecessary. And, it turned the game.
Yeah.
And I think but the good thing is it didn't get burned. It's a lesson learned. So let's keep this
for sure.
Up.
Hey, on Holloway, just because you were talking about the mistake he made. So the mistake that cost him his spot on that line a little bit later on was the mishandle and then the penalty on Tkachuk, which, by the way, had that just been 2 minutes on Dylan Holloway, that would have been a nightmare sequence for him. Absolutely nightmare. But is it just me, or was that the referees sending a signal very strong to Matthew Tkachuk?
Yeah.
We've been watching the video, bud, and we don't like what we've been seeing.
Yeah, no, I agree, because there was another one where he accidentally fell into Stu Skinner. There was one behind the net, I think, in the second where it looked like he tumbled and was tripped. Like, he's trying to sell it. And I said earlier, man, that it's no way to win. It is no way to win the game. And I think that eventually what happens, as you just outlined, they don't trust you. You don't get the benefit of the doubt. And that's a dangerous space to be in. If you're not getting the benefit of the doubt anymore, when it is actually one, they'll be like, no, he dived or dove, I guess, to say it in English.
Yeah. And I think that the refs go, like, they go in between periods and they watch that stuff and they pay attention. They know the balance of who's done what in previous games. And tonight, I thought some of that stuff definitely caught up with Tkachuk a little bit, who, by the way, and we can talk about this whenever you want, Strud, but he checked into the series in a pretty significant way here, man. I noticed him more tonight than in any of the other games.
No, for sure. Before we get too much deeper into this bad boy, the YouTube poll brought to you by, or YouTube poll in English, brought to you by DeBoer's Golf Shop and Fitting Center. Aimed to help you play better golf with golf fitting, instruction, after-sales support, and golf merchandise and clothing. Celebrating 25 years, check out their pro shop style atmosphere located at 5311 99th Street in Edmonton. Zoobs, get in here. What is a YouTube poll question? It is, and we're rolling. We're rolling on the stream right now. What have you got for a question?
Yeah, hopefully we'll get a ton of votes here tonight. This was my question tonight. What was your favorite moment of the night? These were the choices. Connor McDavid's assist on the Corey Perry goal and that whole play. The Connor Brown shorty. Kachuk called for embellishment. The fourth option was Bill Zito chucking stuff. Those were the four. I don't know if Ryan, I don't know if you saw in the broadcast, Bill Zito was throwing had a big hard throw of a water bottle or a cell phone or something in after the empty net goal went in. So people have been chatting about that too. So that was the fourth choice. So it was pretty funny. He was very upset.
He launched it. Absolutely. Yeah. Launched. I'm going with the Connor Brown goal. It got the Oilers off to the right start, and you saw Kulak's reaction in the box. You know, it was so incredible. Shogger, you got one you like?
Yeah, I think that one too probably works for me. And I'm curious to see what people think. It's hard when you're not watching the broadcast too, because some of that stuff it resonates a lot better on television. So I'll kind of take your guys' word for it. Hey, Zuby, so a lot of fun being made about that profile pic of me, and understandably so. It's kind of goofy. Tony Brar snapped a picture of me today without me knowing and sent it to me.
There you go.
And it's even more kind of, I don't know, wiener-ish, I guess.
I see.
So I sent it to you, Zuby. Yeah. You can put it up. I give you permission to put it up tonight if you want for everyone to make fun of, because I said to Tony, like, I don't even know what to do with a picture like this. Like, I feel like some people might tweet it, some people might, but I'm like, let's just put it on the stream and let people make fun of it.
Yeah, I might.
I love it.
Hopefully I can work it in here when I have a minute to bring it up for the new shot. By the way, on the poll, we won't get too deep into the results. I loved Connor. I mean, just for Connor McDavid to make that play.
Right.
In the Stanley Cup final, you know, back against the wall, Stanley Cup final game. That was incredible. But I'm surprised at the early low number for the Kachuk embellishment, because I don't know. I thought Oiler fans would actually, I thought they'd be all over that. I thought they'd be loving that. But it's trailing behind right now. But
Yeah. I had a sponsor who shall remain unnamed text me and was like, I don't like complaining about the refs, but what's with that non-call on Kachuk and the goaltender? He was mad.
Yeah,
and then Kachuk got the embellishment, and he was like, okay, yeah, it all evens out. Yeah. That's the thing. Over the course of time, it evens out.
Really. I love it. If you're on the stream, take a second and hit the thumbs up button. You find it right underneath, now my beautiful picture. So hit that thumbs
love
up
button.
Yeah, tell a friend. We love, and we got a great numbers. We'll try to get to all your or a bunch of the thoughts later on the show, the Ask Us Anything. But let's get to the Weiss Johnson Soundbox, brought to you by our good buddies at Weiss Johnson. Dennis and the team at Weiss Johnson are giving away a free 16-SEER air conditioner when the Oilers win the Cup. Enter now at WeissJohnson.com today. Hit that Contact Us button. Tell us who your favorite Edmonton Oiler is, and you'll be entered into a draw to win a brand new air conditioner from Weiss Johnson. Such a good one. So let's just, obviously Connor's a big story here. Let's talk about, get Corey Perry's thought on his goal and what 97 did to get him in that position.
I watched him go through three guys and pass it over me. I mean, I didn't even yell for it. He just saw me going. That's just the type of player he is.
In the game he had tonight in the last two, right, facing elimination, like, are there any words? Like, what are your words to describe it?
He puts his team on his back. When we're against the wall, he puts us on his back and he plays. And, you know, you see why he is the best player.
Let's hear from Connor McDavid, and he details, kind of outlines his thoughts on his goal and assist in the second period.
I don't want to give away too much. There's still hockey to be played, but coming down that side on the goal, I've gone short side lots. I would say I would say most people know that I looked there, and he was standing, so tried to... You know, and Heise is always around the net and just tried to kind of put it there and, you know, found a way in. And then the second one, I'm in that position a lot, you know, going back for pucks on the breakout, bringing it in the zone. And so it's something that I look at a lot, how certain guys are playing things. And, you know, Mikla's, but you got a really long reach and just tried to work my way through there, and Paris did a great job of working back door.
Shogar, your thoughts on that detail from Connor, what he's thinking and processing as he flies through.
Yeah, I liked it. He kind of shared that, talking about being in that position a lot. And, you know, that was really deep into the penalty kill. He was exhausted. We never see McDavid come up ice. That was like, for a second, I thought that, you know, well, I won't make fun of anybody, but somebody else had gone back to retrieve the puck. Jason Strudwick had gone back to retrieve that puck. It didn't even look like him. Yet he finds the hands. He finds the burst. And one thing we've not seen a lot of, Struds, we have not seen a lot of McDavid beating guys one-on-one through the middle of the ice. The Panthers have done a fantastic job of knocking pucks away from him. And any stabs that he's made to try and bust through the D, they have thwarted through this entire series. And that one worked.
Yeah, it was just amazing the way he's skating and moving, his determination. And we've how many different ways do you talk about this guy? He's just been absolutely incredible. There's a new picture, Ryan Rashog posing. I think your left or right arm's flexing, actually. So Tony Brar got a nice picture that's a little bit less creepy.
I did not know it was being taken.
I think you're
flexing. Glamour shot.
With the foot up. That's the part.
The arm's looking good.
Yeah, you look
good. Is the arm looking good? The suit coat looks tight on the arm. I hit the gym. It was arms today, Stretch. Maybe that's what's happening.
Hope you're stretching your back as well. okay, let's slip into a lot of things to get into here as far as, you know, takeaways, takeaway from this game. There's a couple items I want to get to. So let's get to takeaways.
Did you want to do Relentless Player?
You can do whatever order you want. Do you want to do Relentless right now?
Well, whatever you think. You know what? You're driving the bus. Okay. I'm going to be back to the hotel in 10 minutes. I'm not sure how far away Brownie is, so we can kind of produce this thing on the fly a little bit, Zuby. But
yeah, I'll message him.
I'll be back in 10 minutes.
Oh, you're going up to the hotel right now?
No. We got 10 minutes left in the drive. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah, do takeaways if you want. Maybe by then I'll be back.
Okay, and I can, let's do takeaways. Brought to you by FG Promotions, your place for all corporate and team merchandise. From apparel, jerseys, gift, golf tournament prizes, corporate customers even get personal discounts on golf gear for their employees. Top shelf quality and amazing customer service. Visit fgpromo.ca and score 10% off your first order when you mention Got Your Back. Okay, the number one takeaway
for
me.
I've got a takeaway for you.
Okay, then go ahead.
Sorry, Struds. I apologize. We're on a little bit of a delay, so I'm accidentally talking over you. I'll give you my takeaway, and then you can give yours. Mine was being in that locker room after this game tonight, Struds, asking each player to talk about Connor McDavid. The look on their face was like Connor Brown. I swear to you, he almost looked like he was getting choked up. He was just like the guys. He almost got choked up. Like, those guys are in such awe of what Connor McDavid is doing right now. Yeah. And Connor will be humble, and he's not going to want to talk about himself. He's singularly focused. He's all of those things. I'm telling you, buddy, like, even Corey Perry's face, he just kind of was like, they roll their eyes as if they don't even know what to say. We're truly witnessing something generational right now. The players are aware of it. And it's moving to them. And in talking to them after the game, I'm telling you, you can sense it in them. They're blown away by what they're seeing.
Yeah, so Dan Rosen and Rob Brown joins. I just want to give you this. This is Dan Rosen, at Dan Rosen AHL. You can check him out. He says, here's a list of players with multiple four-point games in Stanley Cup final history. Wayne Gretzky, Conn McDavid. Follows that up. Here's a list of players with consecutive four-point games in Stanley Cup final history. Consecutive. Connor McDavid, the end.
Yeah.
Brownie, welcome to the show, Brownie. We have a great number of people here tuning in. Again, if you're on the YouTube stream, hit the thumbs up button. Give us some love. Brownie, your thoughts on Connor McDavid as we're in our talking about takeaways and what he's meant to this team.
What he's meant to this team. He's all world. Every big moment that the Oilers have needed somebody to step up, it's been Connor McDavid. I mean, there's all kinds of great stories with the Oilers this year. All the role players, Corey Perry scoring tonight, Connor Brown, a big empty net goal, or shorthanded goal. But when the Oilers need something done. It's on the back of Connor McDavid. He's just grabbed this team and taken it with him. And Connor McDavid has had one goal all season long. That was to win a Stanley Cup. And he just knows how close he is. There's zero chance he's letting this opportunity pass him by. And the last two games, he has been the best player on the ice, and it hasn't even been close.
Yeah, it's been just amazing what he's accomplished. And we've talked about Connor. I want to talk about the other side of the equation. Kachuk had been offensively invisible through four and a half games mm-hmm. of the series. He gets a gift and scores, and he all of a sudden you noticed him. I couldn't stop seeing him. He was out there all the time. So we'll start with you, Brownie. Kachuk, how much does one goal in this series change how he could or might perform the rest of it?
Well, it's funny. I agree. It's the first time I noticed. It was almost like there's a welcome sign. It says, welcome to the finals, Matthew Kachuk, because he has not been involved. So when you're an offensive player, you're counted on to produce. And when things aren't going in for you, even the greatest have confidence issues. And I'm sure that's the biggest moment for Kachuk. There's a Stanley Cup opportunity. He's the big signing in Florida, going to Florida. Last year he's injured. The expectations of what he could accomplish here were probably huge, and they didn't go his way. And you're right. He finally got a break. He got a chance, and he buried it. And then from that moment on, he was by far the best Florida Panther, and it wasn't even close. So I think that as Connor McDavid has now taken his team on his back, it looked like Matthew Kachuk tried taking his on his back. I mean, the play he made at the very end, keeping that puck out of the net, it didn't work out. McDavid scored it afterwards. That was just
incredible.
I was trying to tell some buddies. I said most players that dive knock the puck into the net, yeah, like to be able to pull it off the goal line. So yeah, I thought Matthew Kachuk was fantastic in this hockey game. Schauger.
The only thing that would have made that more of a Matthew Kachuk play is if he'd have thought to just make sure the net came off.
Because
then they'd have had a whistle. And it would have been in their own end, but there'd be 20 seconds on the clock with a chip and a chair and a chance. But he went barreling in there, and it almost came off a tiny little shove by him, Struts, and that would have changed the calculus because McDavid scored immediately after that incredible play.
See, I think you try to keep the net on purpose. I think that if you knock the net off, it's a face-off. Now it's 50-50 whether you even get the puck. So I think he's keeping it out. I think there's a better chance of creating something off of a broken play. And he has no idea where the puck's going when he keeps it off when he knocks it out. So he doesn't know if his player's getting it. But to me, I would think as a player, I would try to keep the net on because I don't want a 50-50 play. Because if you lose the faceoff, the game is over. And you can't, you don't have your goalie out there. So now it's 5 versus 5. If you keep the net on, you still have the advantage because you have your goalie out of the net. So I think he tries to keep it on purpose.
Yeah, it's a great point, Brownie. It's true. The other thing about Kachuk tonight that I really noticed, and I don't love the way he does it. I think it's kind of underhanded and, to be frank, not that honorable. But when he has guys lined up, he turns around and bends over and tries to throw the heaviest part of his body into their thigh. And he was doing that a ton tonight. He was trying to low bridge some guys with that signature hit of his. And I'm not saying it's illegal. I'm just saying I don't love it. And I don't think it's a very honorable way to play. But he was really aggressive with trying to throw that hit around tonight.
So I think we can agree Kachuk has introduced himself to this series. Mm-hmm. Where are we at with Barkov and his play? Killed it in the faceoff zone. Like, absolutely killed it. But a Brownie... Barkov, we saw the high hit from Leon. I don't think he's been the same, in my opinion, but you know, at least offensively, I don't think he's skating like we've seen earlier. So what do you see from Barkov?
I still see him as being dominant. I mean, he got a Montour gave him a horrible play pass on the power play where Connor Brown scored. That was terrible on Montour's spot. But I mean, first shift of the game, first 5 minutes of the game, steals the puck in the corner, takes the hit, makes the play, and hits Ekblad back door wide open. I mean, that was a great play by Barkov that could have changed the complexion of this hockey game, but a fantastic save by Skinner. I think he's been fine. I really do. I think he's been one. He and Rodriguez have been the two most consistent players, I think, for the Florida Panthers in this series. I think there's other players you haven't noticed as much, but I think Barkov, he looks fine. Maybe the hit affected him a little bit, but I do believe he's still been his dominant self in this series and will have to be if the Florida Panthers want to win that final game.
Shoggy, your thoughts on Barkov?
And Strubs, I'm definitely interested in your thoughts on him. But what I'll add in quickly here, a couple of things. One, the Florida power play has to get going. It does. Because if the Oilers power play is going to be, and Barkov's a huge part of that. And I agree with you, he got handed a bad pass tonight. But if you guys recall, he was the one that lost Janmark on the shorthanded goal last game that got things going for the Oilers, right? That was his power play, that number one power play unit that is getting torn to shreds by the Oilers penalty kill. His responsibility is a big part of figuring that out. Just like it was McDavid and Draisaitl to figure out theirs, he needs to figure out that power play. Their power play needs to check into this series. Never mind giving up shorthanded goals and him being part of the mistakes, at least last game that were made shorthanded.
Brownie, my thought on what Florida's trying to do to beat the Oilers' power play is I think they're trying to spread it out. At times I see them in the four corners of the offensive zone just to open these up and try to go up, over, and down, then get the Oilers kind of running and spread them out a bit. Now, the Oilers are being pretty disciplined in staying where they need to, not chasing out. But are you seeing that? If so, is that one way of breaking down that type of pressure?
Well, it is. The further you're apart, the harder it is for the defenders to get to you. And the Oilers are very, very aggressive. But when they're aggressive, if the puck goes from one boards to the far boards, you're not going to be able to get there in time. The problem, Florida has gotten the puck and some distance, but they're not shooting. To me, I put pucks on net. You've got Matthew Tkachuk, who you may hate him in Edmonton oil country, but he's effective in front of the net. They're not putting any pucks on net. They're not forcing Skinner to make saves. They're not forcing. I mean, we talk it about all the time with the Oilers with Bouchard on the back end. Get pucks on net, create chaos. The Panthers aren't doing it at all. They're keeping the puck on the boards too much. And that's where your penalty killer starts. That's where you want it. Okay, you hang out there. Keep it on the boards. Keep throwing it behind the net. I think they're frazzled. I really do. They struggle to get into the zone. Then they finally get in there, and it's like, oh my, now what are we going to do? We haven't been in here in a long time. But I know that you were giving a ton of credit to the Panthers' penalty killing when the Oilers' power play wasn't scoring. I'm going to do the same thing with the Oilers' penalty killing. I think it just their penalty killing has been so good against the Florida Panthers, and the Florida Panthers just haven't had an answer for it.
Yeah, that's well said. But I mean, the last two games, I believe they're -2, aren't they?
Yep.
And that is a killer.
Oh,
absolute killer. Like it sucks the life out of it. Gives so much energy to your role players if you're the Oilers, and then sucks so much juice out of your top players on the other team. It is. And I know that, you know, how do you quantify that? Well, you got two losses the last two games, right? So I think that power play, and I believe Paul Maurice has asked post game, he's like, we're going to figure it out. And you could tell he was frustrated, you know, and it's going to be, I can't wait to see how this shakes down. Shug, are you close to the hotel, buddy?
He's just headed upstairs right now. So he's out for a minute here, and should have him back shortly.
Okay, well, let's get into Relentless Player, then we'll come back with him and Brownie Point. So the Relentless Player is brought to you by our good buddies at You Can Youth Services, an Edmonton charity relentless in helping youth age 16 to 24 get out of harm's way and get employment. Visit youcan.ca to see how your donation can change lives right here in our community. And I don't think I've given this up to this guy very many times, but it would be embarrassing if I skipped him. Derek Ryan. No, just kidding. Connor McDavid. Connor McDavid. I just think tonight he was so good. He's been, you know, the last two games, I shouldn't say that. Tonight he was tenacious. He was everywhere, Brownie, on the ice. And the captain in a knockout game on the road. I mean, what more do you want from your captain?
Well, I agree. He was, mesmerizing. When he was on the ice, you couldn't keep your eyes off him. He's willing his team to game 6, and he'll will his team to game 7. He's won every award possible. He wants one thing, a Stanley Cup. He realized how close he is. Going into tonight's game, he's only 3 wins away from a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
After that performance, he's only 2 wins away from a Stanley Cup. He knows how close he is. He's never been this close before, and we never know. Will he ever get this close again? He ain't taking a night off. He's taking full advantage of this opportunity, and I agree. He was relentless. He was tenacious, and he was a big reason why the Edmonton Oilers won tonight's hockey game.
Absolutely incredible. All right, we're going to just duck out quickly here. When we come back, we'll get into brownie points. But if you're watching on the stream, take a second, hit the thumbs up button. Hit the thumbs up button on our just below myself, and let's get that thing pumped up. We love everyone who's joining us, and obviously the votes are crazy number of votes tonight. So just to help you out, if this makes a difference, there's the scarf, the rally scarf's 2-in-1. Just for that, hit the thumbs up button. We'll come back with next.
The fastest growing male grooming company on the planet just got even better. Backscaped 2.0 with a revolutionary friction fit handle makes the razor easy to pop in and out to shave not only your back, but anywhere on your body. And those hard-to-reach spots just got even easier with the new ergonomic design. Backscape's new titanium shave head makes for a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. Backscape 2.0. Stay smooth, gentlemen.
On paper, my life looks exciting.
In reality, not so much.
Every day, it's same old, same old.
Clock in, clock out.
Then I discovered Play Alberta. I can play casino games anytime.
Bet on any game.
And buy lottery tickets anywhere in Alberta. I think my spleen is ruptured.
Thanks for hitting the thumbs up button, everybody, on YouTube. It's great, and we love having you all on tonight. Such a fun night. Oilers went 5-3. Shogger's going to join us momentarily. We've got myself and Rob Brown and Zoobs here. But right now, it's time for Brownie Points. Where is he going to take us? I don't know, but it's brought to you by Hamel's Premium Jerky. This Alberta-based family-owned business opened in 1962. Their beef jerky is out of this world, literally. Hamel's Meat sent their sweet and spicy jerky to the International Space Station in 2009 as part of a project to introduce authentic yet space-friendly food. For the remainder of the Oilers playoff run, $99 for 3 pounds of jerky with free shipping. Fast shipping anywhere in Alberta. Hop on albertajerky.com to order yours and enter code GOTYOURBACK for an additional 5% off. Brownie, oh, we got Shogger back. Let's do this, you old dog.
I'm just here for brownie points. I can't wait to hear
him. Perfect. Make it loud. Make it loud. I got 7 brownie points for Corey Perry. He only needed to play 7 minutes tonight to make an impact in this hockey game. Game-winning goal for the oldest man, yeah, I believe, in the National Hockey League. He comes up with a huge goal at a big moment. I know Connor made the play, but Corey Perry went to the blue paint and he finished. I've got 26 brownie points for Evan Bouchard. In a game where all the Oilers defensemen were playing between 15 and 19 minutes, I think Ekholm only got 19 tonight. I think Nurse was between 17 and 19. Evan Bouchard, 26 minutes, plus 3. Last minute of the game, he's on the ice. I don't know if that's something that we saw months ago, that when you're holding on to a one-goal lead late in a hockey game, Evan Bouchard would be the guy on the right-hand side that you'd be out there hanging on to a lead. But he's getting 26 minutes a night. He's out. He is their number one defenseman and is by a long shot. Another solid night for Evan. I got 44 brownie points for Connor McDavid. 4 points last game, 4 points this game. The only player in the history of the NHL to do that. He's just, 4 points away, 5 points away from the all-time record for playoff points, 5 points away. Connor McDavid was, we've been lucky over the number of years he's been here to watch him on a nightly basis, but some nights are even more special. I believe tonight was one of those nights. Let's throw a number out there. 50 brownie points to the Edmonton Oilers penalty killing unit. It is literally killing the Florida Panthers, taking away all momentum from their best players in back-to-back game shorthanded goals. Usually a team, when you score a shorthanded goal, end of the night, your team is the winning team. The Oilers, really, you won a one-goal game tonight. They scored a shorthanded goal. And finally, I've got 1,000 brownie points to the lime green rally scarf that is now 2-1 in the playoffs. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. 1,000 brownie points to that beautiful piece of art.
Just for that, you might be the owner of this come next winter when I finish it. I better take some off. It's too long for you. You know, and just to piggyback your point about the penalty kill, I can't stress, and we've talked about it before, but the role players on the Oilers are so empowered by taking this on. And you know, the third line, they're all doing it. You know, Derek Ryan, you know, Hans Fogel, McLeod, all these guys, it's so important. And they're so empowered when you do this. It's just hugely important. And that subtle change by Knobloch was massive, taking Connor Leon off it and empowering this group because they get octane out of it. Just like the top players get octane out of the power play, these guys are getting juice out of this penalty kill.
Well, and the pride they have in it. It's something like at the end of the game, like there's a special high five between the penalty killers, not only because they've been empowered, but because they are making a difference. And I said it, and I've repeated it a number of times. I said it during the 16-game winning streak, and I've said it during the playoffs. Outside of Connor McDavid, the biggest reason the Edmonton Oilers are 2 wins away from winning a Stanley Cup, in my eyes, is their penalty killing. It's been that good. It's been that game-changing. And the last 2 games are a great indication. They're starting games off with shorthanded goals. So the penalty killing unit, and I agree with you 100%. Chris Knobloch made a little subtle change, gave those players a role, a defined role, and they have run with it.
Fantastic brownie points. Let's slip into now something that's a little bit different world. I mean, it's time for Scotty's World, brought to you by Shipwreck Rum. The Brindley family has been handcrafting their rum on the Caribbean island of St. Kitts for decades now. Their Shipwreck Vanilla Run, which I had some this evening, is blended with natural Madagascar vanilla, which gives it an incredible smoothness, and it sure does. Take one sip and you'll agree. It truly is vacation in a bottle. Get Shipwrecked. Oilers fans, available at your local liquor retailer. Please enjoy it responsibly. Oh, thank you for that. Ghost Ready, a very nice comment. So I got to get into this idea of, you know, there's a lot of people are saying that Florida, and it's misguided, that the Panthers were being cocky by flying their family in for game four here. And that's resulted in some bad karma for them. My understanding that the players that I know of that have been in a winning situation or a possible clinching Stanley Cup, and even before that, families would fly to wherever, right? You're going to, if your son or daughter, your aunt and uncle were going to play for the Stanley Cup, would you want to go watch them play? Of course you'd want to go watch them play. So teams usually arrange it. They get a second plane and they fly. I don't think they usually fly on the team plane. It's a second plane, as far as I know. Brownie might be to chime in later. They want them to arrive. They want to get there. So it's a less of a distraction for the players. That's organized for them. It's easy. Then they find the hotels and all that stuff and figure it out. But I've heard it from so many people. I've got so many texts, even tweets. This is karma. It's not bad karma. This is what you do. So, you know, let's assume that the Oilers are able to take this to game seven. I'm guessing there'll be a flight full of fans from the Oilers as far as family members going there. So Brownie, I'm not sure what your experience with this was, but that is my understanding of it. Again, I never was in it.
Well, it's funny. I asked this because on game four, I was walking into Rogers and 3 buses pulled up and all of these Florida Panther fans came out. And I was looking at it, okay, this is okay, I get it. And I walked over to a group of them. I said, hey, just curious, is this a family and friends bus? He says, yes, yes, we are. Did you guys all just charter? And yes, we all chartered in to see the game. And so on our show that night, John Shannon, who's been around with the National Hockey League forever, I asked him, I said, is this something that is planned out by teams, NHL involved? How do they get tickets? And he said that at the beginning of a series, both teams will talk to the opposition, said, okay, in case one of us is going to win in your rink, can we have tickets set aside? Can we do this? both teams would have this have plans in places. Now, the players wouldn't be involved with these plans. This would be every team has a PR guy. They would take care of who's going where, what's going on. But if the Edmonton Oilers were up 3-0 and were going into Florida, their friends and families would have been there as well. And I would imagine if this makes it to Game 7, there will be a plane full of Oilers family members and friends that will be flying there. That's just, you. If you win a championship, the first person, the first people you want to celebrate with is with your teammates, but very quickly you want to celebrate with your family. So both teams will make sure that if they win the Stanley Cup, their family will be available with them at the arena to be able to be on the ice and celebrate with them. So I'm with you. This has nothing to do with karma. If the Oilers were in the same position, their family would have been in Florida.
Yeah. No, pretty awesome. Now, Shauger, are you there, buddy?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm not sure the Wi-Fi in the hotel was garbage. So I had to hop back on the phone. But I agree with everything Brownie said. Here's the thing. This is the organization being awesome, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Whether it's the Florida Panthers or the Edmonton Oilers, this is the organization's being awesome to the people who matter most to their players. Mm-hmm. So there's no room for criticism there. I get, it's the playoffs and people are looking for an edge and looking for all the karma, this and that. It's just sort of the way fans process this stuff. This is a nothing burger. This is the Florida Panthers actually being pretty awesome to their players' families. And the Oilers will return in kind. So let that one go, Oiler fans. And the tables might be turned here. And the families, I assume, Struds, will be bound their way back. And if you see some Florida Panther family members, I can tell you this. There was a round this year in the playoffs where some guests of the visiting Oilers were not treated very well. And it was ugly. And so what I would say is if you see Panther families in and around, then welcome them and high five them and let's show them the right way to be cordial.
I love it. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get into take a lap. We're going to get into the goalies because we haven't touched on the goalies. Skinner, Bobrovsky, where are they at next on the stream?
But just before we cut. Before we cut Shauger loose, I just wanted to say, Shauger, we got a message here on the stream from someone called Dr. Evil who says, got you guys up on the big screen on a pub in Bali right now. So that's pretty cool. Oh. So everyone there in Bali's getting to see your GQ suit here, Shauger.
Shauger, you know what I'm hearing? I think it's time for an on location in Bali.
Ooh, that'd be a good idea. Yes. I agree.
That's what I'm hearing.
No, you know where we're going?
Two votes.
You know where we're going, buddy? We're going to the island of St. Kitts to get a tour of the shipwreck facilities, buddy. We're going to drink it dry.
I'm free. I'm not sure when we're doing that, but I'm free that week.
Yeah. All right, Shauger's got to go get his beauty rest, guys. Put the cucumbers on your eyes. It takes a few months off your age.
See you guys soon.
Spring is here, and if you're thinking of buying a new home during the housing market hot period, contacting a mortgage broker should be your first step. Maria Gallas with Maximo Mortgages can guide you with a stress-free experience. With access to dozens of different lenders, Maria's simplistic approach and expert advice will have you ready to put an offer in on your dream home. Take the stress out of your mortgage journey. Contact Maria Gallas at mortgagesbymaria.ca. That's mortgagesbymaria.ca.
For over 60 years, Belvedere Golf and Country Club has been delivering a high-quality golf experience to Edmonton and area. This beautiful private club, located on Highway 21 just south of Sherwood Park, occupies 160 acres and presents a challenging yet adventurous 18-hole design. A beautiful clubhouse, fully stocked pro shop, and warm, friendly staff truly make it feel like you belong to something unique and special. Visit www.belvederegcc.com. Long Shots Golf is the destination for both golf enthusiasts and sports fans. Top-of-the-line TrackMan simulators provide a highly entertaining and accurate golf experience, while a full-service sports bar loaded with big screens and scratch kitchen make it a truly unique destination. They have locations in Sherwood Park and Edmonton. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in town. Visit longshots.ca. That's longshots with a Z.ca.
Time to take a lap with our good buddies from Backscape, the fastest growing male grooming company on the planet. Just got even better. Backscape 2.0, engineered for back shaving. The new friction fit handle allows you to effortlessly snap the shaver in and out to touch up the rest of your body. The new titanium shave head gives you a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. And for a Father's Day, 30% off the starter, advanced, and deluxe kits at backscape.com. Stay smooth, gentlemen. All right, let's talk some goalie action. So Stu Skinner outduels Sergei Bobrovsky. And let's hear from Stu Skinner, Brownie, about the last 15 minutes and how he saw that play out in his head.
Not too much is going through the mind, to be honest. You're just trying to, be in the moment and make the plays when you have to. There's obviously some nerves. I think on both sides, everyone was probably feeling it. The way that we were able to play and kind of finish it out, we were just getting pucks in deep. We were playing a very simple game, and I think that was really important for us. Even though that they got a really big goal, after that, I felt like we shut it down pretty good. So that's a credit to the guys.
Stu Skinner was a stud early, Brownie.
Mm-hmm. Well, the save he made on Ekblad at the beginning of the game, that was huge. That's a Florida Panther team that was, they came out hard. They wanted to set the tone. They had the fans ready to explode. Barkov makes a nice play backdoor to Ekblad, and it looks like, and then he dives out at it and kind of like lunges towards the puck. That's a huge save. And even Corey Perry talked about it afterwards. He said that save there allowed us to find our legs and start going in the right direction. Who would have thought after game two of this series that the more confident goaltender in this series would be Stuart Skinner? And if you look at the two goalies right now, the way they're playing, the way they're holding themselves, I mean, Skinner in the first couple games, he wasn't getting as many shots. And the guy at the other end of the rink was just dominant. And at the end of that, you got like a 870 save percentage. And the guy in the other rink or other end's got a 970 save percentage. But here we are after game five. I think we all as fans feel very confident in Stuart Skinner. And Bobrovsky, question marks for the first time. I mean, he let the four in. He made a nice save on Nugent Hopkins in the third period, partial breakaway. But there was one that Henrique threw at the net in the second that Bobrovsky looked like he was trying to push it into the corner and missed the puck. And then he actually had to make a save. It hit him in the pad. So, after game two, I'm not sure we would have said that the goaltending battle is favoring the Edmonton Oilers, but it certainly has the last couple games.
Just incredible. Bobrovsky gives up four goals on, 24 shots or 23. I don't know how it works with the empty netter. I'm assuming that's a shot on goal. That's just incredible to see what's going on. And I saw a stat, I kind of started thinking on stream, but someone said in games 4-7, Stu Skinner's 9-0. Mm-hmm. Like, that's mind-blowing. That's mind-blowing that's what he's doing. And I think he is very confident. And I think his team is confident in him. And you hear Connor McDavid continuously repeating, we believe in Stu. We think this is what's going on with Stu. Now, the thing with Bobrovsky is this. Good players, as you said earlier, they will figure out, how, if you give them enough time, they'll figure out how to beat them. But good goalies are also figuring things out. And he might refine it, right? And so Did you ever a situation where Brownie you saw or played against a goalie that maybe adjusted his approach? I'm not talking about being a stand-up goalie from a butterfly, but you know where I'm getting at with this.
At spur of the moment, I can't think of that one. But I do believe you're right. Like Connor and Leon talked about, we'll figure this power play out. We'll figure out how to score on the penalty killing, because the great ones are always trying to get better. Bobrovsky, we know, has the ability to steal a game by himself, because we saw that in games 1 and 3.
Right.
I think that he doesn't need to be great two games in a row. He just needs to be great once in the final two games to give themselves the Stanley Cup. So I think he will have a good game in him. I do believe Stuart Skinner will have two good games in him. I think, to me, it's funny. My son sent a text tonight, Struds, Ben. First of all, he predicted the Connor Brown shorthanded goal, but he also said, Dad, this, if I didn't have so much invested interest in this game, being an Oilers fan, this might be one of the best games ever to watch, because the excitement level. But he says, I'm so anxious because I'm so nervous about what's going to happen. And I think that we as fans have been treated to, well, tonight was a fantastic game to watch.
It's so much fun. So, you know, when I look at this, the takeaway obviously is continue to get to Bobrovsky, get pucks there, use your speed, but they have to get away from those bad goals against the game. Goal number one, you know, that can't happen. Either puck's got to get out by Holloway, but you can't all five guys be jumping up the ice. Someone has to stay back, right? And listen, I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just saying the approach you have to have when you're up 3-0 in that moment, even if it's 0-0, you just, not everyone can go for it. A jailbreak can't happen. So I wanted to be aggressive, like Shager talked about, but that can't happen. So I think that to me is the big thing. Just remove those little pieces as much as possible. Make them earn their goals. That was a gift goal.
It was. And it's funny. If you're down 3-0, jailbreak, because you're desperate. But when you're up 3-0, I'm like, oh, no. Where are you guys going? And what happened on that one, too, they gave a very good hockey player an opportunity to introduce himself to the series. Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. The freebies, make them earn them. And that one, the Florida Panthers didn't have to earn.
All right. It's time for you. All of you listeners, all on the YouTube, on the Twitter stream, we love hearing from you. And there's so many of you. Again, hit the thumbs up button if you're on the YouTube stream. Let's hear from you. The Ask Us Anything brought to you by Match Eatery and Public House. Happy Hours better at Match Pub Ice District, and it's been rocking. Score 20% off appetizers, half-price wine, and other drink specials every day, 2 to 4 p.m. Located adjacent to Rogers Place in Grand Villa Casino, Edmonton. For more info, visit matchpub.com. Zub, get in here, you old dog. Where are you going to take us tonight?
I'm glad Brownie's sticking around, because this late entry here from Got Your Back podcast, somehow I guess someone with access to our YouTube stream asked this question. Zuby, longtime fan of the pod here, does Brownie think 97 won the Conn Smythe trophy tonight? I'll hang up and listen. So you missed it earlier on this show, Brownie, one of our hosts declared that he thinks Connor McDavid in these last two games has won the Conn Smythe trophy, irregardless of what happens in the next two games. Your thoughts?
Well, if the Oilers win, yes. I still have a hard time. If the Florida Panthers win,
do you want it? If your team doesn't win, do you want it?
No. Well, I remember, wasn't it Hextall that won it? And I remember them giving the award, and he did not look happy getting the award, because the only award that Connor McDavid wants is the Stanley Cup. So I'm going to, I mean, he's had an incredible playoff. He has. He's been the best player in the playoffs. But to me, the award, it goes to the guy on the winning team. That's just the way I would do it.
I don't think I'd want it.
No.
And I just, and if he does win it, I obviously he's played amazing, and probably in the spirit of it, he probably does deserve it, but I'm not sure you want it. If you lose, it feels like a really, like a consolation prize, right? So I don't know. I don't think so. Zoop, where are you going next?
I feel like you're just the answer to a trivia question. If you win it when your team,
good point.
Win it.
Yeah. Fair. Yeah.
Okay. This is interesting. You guys might have touched on this a little bit, but I'd like to hear Brownie chime in too. Martin D says, everything is awesome except what is wrong with Leon? A number of people have brought this up. This is the worst I've seen him play in a while. I wouldn't go that far personally, but he's not having the impact on the game, it doesn't seem, right now, the way he normally does. And lots of speculation about what injury or injuries might be bugging him. What are you guys seeing with Leon right now?
Brownie.
Yes. To me, Leon's the second best player in the world. In the last few games, he has not been as noticeable as we normally see Leon. Credit the Florida Panthers. But yeah, I've got no insider information whether or not he's hurt or not. But Leon has not been as good as he's got a very high bar. And I don't think he's been at the bar that he has set for himself in the last couple of games.
Brownie, I'll make this statement. I don't think he can skate like we're used to. He seems to have no power to pull away or to attack. Like, I just don't see it. And again, it's not will. I mean, he's 2 games away from Stanley Cup.
Yes.
So this isn't being critical of what he's doing, but I just don't think he can skate like and dig in and push, you know, like we've maybe seen in the past. So that's my take on that one, Zoops.
Okay. Chris R. said, and again, I wouldn't go this far, but his words, anyone else notice how bad we are 4-on-4? And I wouldn't say that they're bad 4-on-4, but you kind of feel like 4-on-4 is going to be an advantage for the Oilers, and it hasn't seemed like that in the couple of instances we've seen in my recent memory. Do you guys tell me if I'm wrong?
Well, I mean, Nugent Hopkins, the best shot or the best opportunity the Oilers had in the third period was a 4-on-4 play by Nugent Hopkins. That was a great play by Kulak. Wonderful Crazy. Play. What speed he got up there, and then to get the backhand pass over to Nugent Hopkins. I would have thought a 4-on-4 situation would greatly benefit the Oilers against any team because you have Connor and Leon. I do believe the Florida Panthers have played them well. But, I mean, tonight, again, the play that Nugent Hopkins had, that would have salted the game away, and that was 4-on-4. So the Oilers' strides are still being able to create. Just they're playing against a great team that has a Barkov or a Reinhardt or players that are really good as well.
Yeah, they have really good players. And 4-on-4 is more chaotic because there's more space on the ice.
Yes.
Zoops, what's that next, buddy?
Noel Rinsky had. Now, I misread this when he sort of said it. This is a... He had a trivia question. He said, which Oilers forward has not been on the ice for an even strength goal in this series? I actually thought it was going to be even strength or against, but do you know the one Oiler forward, according to his info, that has not been on the ice for an even strength goal? Do you have a guess?
It's got to be someone on the fourth line.
I would have guessed Derek Ryan, but
yeah, me too.
But with the question, it sounds like it's going to be someone that we shouldn't have, to be a little more famous.
He's got Ryan Nugent Hopkins as the answer to that trivia question. If that's accurate, Noel's a good contributor on here. I didn't have time to re-research it. Does that say anything to you? Is that just an anomaly? What's your reaction to hearing that?
Well, I do know that. Well, it can't be just. That must be an even strength goal 4 because Ryan Nugent Hopkins. Okay. Yeah. Cause Ryan Nugent Hopkins was -1 in the 8-1 game.
Yeah.
So he was on for a goal against.
Goal 4.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you'd like to see a little bit of offense off of Nugent stick. Like they're scoring enough, but you would like to just another guy going right. Cause he had some, I thought he had some looks on the power play. Brownie, I thought he held it on a little bit too long because just, again, as a defender, it gives me a chance to get in your way, right? Yep. So I think when he lets it go quicker, and again, he's waiting to get it through, but that's what I'm seeing on the power play, at least, guys.
The only thing I question on that or wonder on that is we're getting camera angles. Are they in the shooting lanes when Nugent Hopkins has the puck? Because maybe he's seeing them in the way. So that's the only thing. But there were a couple opportunities. I'm like, because we know the shot that he has, he's got that little wrist shot that is deadly. It's very slippery. So I'm guessing there's someone in the way. Having said that, you'd love more contributions from everybody.
But
RNH is a huge part of the penalty killing that's been fantastic. So what he hasn't given you in offense, he's certainly given you in great defense on the PK.
Okay, last one before we'll revisit the poll. J-Dub said, Broberg and Holloway were not great today despite their recent success. I hope they turn it around for next game. I mean, but you got to feel with those young guys, you got to feel pretty good about the fact that maybe they didn't have a great game. You still got a win out of it. What can they learn from and turn around for next game? And who else is maybe kind of got that do factor to have a big game in game 6?
Go ahead, Stretch.
I'll go with the young guys and you can take the other one on. I think when in a big game like that, you get too caught up in the emotion, just take it shift by shift. I'll just have a good first shift and a second and just small, very small little bites. Have a good shift and I'll worry about my next shift. Don't worry about, you know what could happen in the last minute or whatever. So I think just small and understand what your basics are for Holloway, skating, being strong on the wall, getting pucks out and being physical. If he does those things, everything else will probably go in his game. Broberg, get the puck, start skating, make a pass, defend with speed, and then everything else will open up from there. Like, do what you do really well and then build off that, Brownie. Who do you think has a chance to break out here?
Well, to me, it's Leon. I think that the Edmonton Oilers are 2 wins away from a Stanley Cup, and they're second best player, has not had a finals that you would expect. He only doesn't have to have a whole finals now. He just has to have two really good games, and the Edmonton Oilers are Stanley Cup champions. So for me, whether he's injured or not, he still has the ability to be impactful. So he's the guy I'm looking for.
Let's take a look at the poll. And we had a ton of answers here, or a ton of responses. Zoop, so what do you got, you old
dog? We've had, cumulatively, we've had over 3,000 viewers on the YouTube stream alone. Still 1,200 hanging in there with us tonight. Awesome numbers. We had 1,000 votes on the poll. Brownie, you can vote here too, but I'll give you the results. We asked, what was your favorite moment of the night? The Connor Brown shorty running away with it, 47% of the vote. Connor McDavid's assist on the Corey Perry goal, 35%. Bill Zito chucking stuff, 11%. And Matthew Tkachuk called for embellishment, only 4%. I thought that was going to draw a much bigger number, but those were the four choices. What was your favorite moment of the night, Brownie, of those four?
Well, the most impactful one, I believe, was the shorthanded goal. The most fun to watch was the Connor McDavid setup of Corey Perry. I just admire greatness, and that was greatness at its best. So to me, it would have been the McDavid setup of Corey Perry.
Nice, buddy.
So good. So good. So good. All right. Well, let's get to our play of the day brought to you by Play Alberta. Final Favors is here. It's all about the Oilers. We're boosting your odds and enhancing your parlays on all playoff games. Every bet in any game enters you into a draw to win season seats for the 2024 hockey season, or five pairs of seats to five separate Oilers games for 2024-25 season. Use promo code GYB50 when you deposit at playalberta.ca to receive a $50 free sports bet. Join the excitement and cheer on the Oilers. Let's bring it home. Bonus terms and conditions apply. All right, guys, this came in really early on tweet. I was showing off this incredible, incredible work of art here, the rally scarf that people are talking about. And Craig jumps in on Twitter, says, my wife is watching with me and is impressed with the rally scarf. Concerned how long it might be, is getting. So she suggests you can make a few of them, sew them together, and make a rally blanket.
Oh, I like that.
Rally blanket. Hand it out. Cover the world with the rally blanket. All right. Well, Oilers win 5-3. Zoobs, any final words, buddy?
Just are you going to be at game six, Streds? Because people were asking if you were going to bring the rally scarf to game six.
I might have to bring it. And I think I'm going to go. Yeah, I think I'll be there. So we'll see what happens. Brownie, any final thoughts?
Oh, no. Just keep having belief. We are now 2 wins away from a Stanley Cup. That's pretty cool.
Just incredible. Thank you for Brownie, Shog, or Zoobs, all your contributions. And thank you for tuning in tonight on Twitter, on YouTube. Again, if you're on YouTube, give us a thumbs up. We love interacting with you, and we've loved this run. We have one more for sure. Friday night, we'll be here for you. Enjoy the game. Get some rest, everybody. I think we're going to need it. Talk to you soon.